From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text Number 20. This chapter is entitled as Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions.
Nasike niravidyeta
Bodhuyati
nabasvate
Tatra
vayur gandhavaho
Nasike
in the nostrils,
nirbhidyeta
being developed,
dhoduyati
rapidly blowing,
nabhasvati
air respiration,
tatra
thereupon.
Vayuhu,
air.
Gandha
vahuhu,
smelling odor.
Ghranaha,
sense of smell.
Nasi,
in the nose.
Jigrikshataha,
desiring to smell odor.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Thereafter, when the Supreme Purusha desired to smell odor, the nostrils and respirations were generated. The nasal instrument and odor came into existence. And the controlling deity of air carrying smell also became manifested. Purport. The nasal instrument, odor and the controlling deity air, smelling, etc. all became manifested simultaneously. When the Lord desired to smell, the Vedic mantras confirm this statement in the Upanishads. In the Upanishad statement that everything is first desired by the Supreme before the subordinate living entity can act upon it. The living entity can see only when the Lord sees. The living entity can smell when the Lord smells, and so on. The idea is that the living entity cannot do anything independently. He can simply think of doing something independently, but he cannot act independently. This independence, his thinking, is there by the grace of the Lord. But the thinking can be given shape by the grace of the Lord. And therefore the common saying is that man proposes and God disposes. The whole explanation is on the subject of the absolute dependence of the living entities and the absolute independence of the Supreme Lord. Less intelligent persons claiming to be on an equal level with God must first prove themselves to be absolute and independent, and then they must substantiate their claim to being one with God. Om Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we read in the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada writes in the introduction there are 5 subject matter in the Gita. And 4 of them are eternal, including the creation. Only the karma is temporary. Now, Jiva is eternal, so Jiva can never become God. God is eternal, and His position is eternal as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He may perform the pastime of acquiring a human form, apparently, and the less intelligent people may not understand. Avajananti mam muda manushyam tanum ashritam param bhavam ajanato. That when he appears in the human form to perform his pastime, one may consider it to be ordinary. But he is not. Param bhavam ajanato. So Lord's position as the Supreme Lord is never taken away. Nobody can become God. And nobody can become living entity, because living entities are living entities and the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Lord. So that position is also eternal. And the time factor is also eternal. It is always affecting in the material world.
And Prakriti Bhutva Bhutva Pralayate. There is a creation, there is a maintenance, and there is a destruction. So Bhagavatam can only deal with one creation. The creations are limitless. A Bhagavatam can deal with one Brahmaji's, you know, creation. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we read, when Brahmaji tried to test the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and eventually when he came down, when he came to meet the Lord in Dwarka, what did he see? You know, somebody asked him, the gatekeeper asked, who are you? He said, Lord Brahma. So Krishna was asked by the gatekeeper, you know, there is Brahmaji standing. So Krishna said, which Brahma? So he said, four-headed. Of course, the servant came and asked, which Brahma are you? So Brahma was intrigued. He said, which Brahma? I thought there is only one Brahma. So therefore, when he came inside, as a submissive student, he asked, why did you ask which Brahma? Are there any other Brahmas? So Lord invited all the Brahmas. No? And so many Brahmaji came. And the Lord said, your universe is so small, therefore you need only four head. And Brahmaji personifies complete intelligence. No, just like our body is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. And intelligence is there. But the prominently Brahmaji's existence is full of intelligence. But still, how much can he fathom? Because Krishna is Anant Koti Brahman Nayak. He is the master of the millions and millions of Brahma. So it is inconceivable. So what does Bhagavatam do? Bhagavatam gives us the glimpse. You know, how material world comes into being. So therefore, when Brahmaji, when he saw the spiritual world, and he is narrating this story, you know, before in the second canto when Narad Muni raised these questions. So he is narrating this story to Narad Muni, but when he saw the spiritual world, what did he see? Narad Muni was there already. So therefore, the whole concept of creation according to Vedic system is very cyclical. It is not linear. In the non-Vedic religion, the creation is very linear. You know, there was some beginning and there is some conclusion. And you have to manage your perfection within one lifetime only. So therefore, the whole concept of at the day of judgment, what happens? Those who are with God, means those who follow God, they go to God. And they don't follow God, they go to hell forever. So hell is a destination. But in the Vedic system, hell is a reformation. You know, you don't go to hell forever. You don't go to heaven forever. Because these are not permanent position. Punishment in the Vedic system is the way to reform. Therefore, Prabhupada in the previous purport, he explains, when a living entity desires to become a swine, or he develops those kind of consciousness, it is not that somebody wants to be a swine, but he starts behaving like that. So therefore, material nature being very kind to such a living entity provides that kind of body. So material nature is like a mother. When a child becomes extremely stubborn, the material nature says, okay, this is what you want, you take this. Somebody, I think it was in Australia only, you know, Prabhupada was talking about either Australia or France, one of these places. You know, he said about the animalistic life. He said how bad it is. And somebody said, doesn't mind, you know, dog's life is great. He said, okay, we bless you, become like that. No? But we don't consider, Prabhupada said, we don't consider that to be very fantastic life. I remember one student, you know, he wrote a poem during the 10th standard exam. In India, exam means, it's like, after the exams are over, when the results come, you know, there is excitement, unsolved many suicide take place. So this boy wrote, how it is nice to be a bird, because there is no exam only. So his whole perspective of life was based upon having exam. So exam means, human life means exam. Bird life means there is no exam. So therefore better I become a bird. So we see that creation is so designed in the Vedic concept. It's a cyclical. A creation is continuity. It's a continuous cycle. And because it is a continuous cycle, therefore Narad Muni explains in the Bhagavatam 7th canto, he says, very interesting and very profound. He says, one should not take life seriously and one should not take death seriously. Because death, life and death, they are a temporary phase. That is not important. He said one should observe how time factor moves on. Because from the eternity perspective, dying and living is no big deal. Therefore Krishna explains in the very second chapter to Arjuna, in fact he begins Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna is worried, what will happen to my grandfather, Bhishma, my teacher, Dronacharya, our Kulu Guru, Krupacharya. You know, if I am responsible to kill them, if I am responsible to killing them, it is unfair. So Krishna was telling, there is no other choice. No, either you do for a higher cause, otherwise anyway they will die. So therefore, he says that Dehinosvin Yatade, it's a profound verse. You know, we never contemplate on that. But if we focus on that verse, the Lord is saying, you know, it is a phase. Janma Mrutu Jaravadi is a phase. One appears in this world, stays for some time, produces some byproducts, eventually starts dwindling and then it disappears. So therefore Krishna says one should not be disturbed by this phenomena. Then when Arjuna says, but my dear Lord, I am attached to seeing Bhishma Dev in this body only. He said, that is going to disappear. You know, that is going to go away. You cannot have that attachment. It has to move. And again, take another shape as long as the material body is there. So therefore, there is a greater scope in the Vedic concept of living, and it is deliverance. If he cannot make it in this lifetime, he can make it some other lifetime. But he has to make it. Why? Because that is the nature of the living entity. Again, we see in the non-Abrahamic religion, living entity is called as sinful. Original sin. But the Vedas say, Jivera Swarupohe Nityara Krishnadas. A living entity is nature. By nature, it's his birthright. What is his birthright? No, his eternal rights. He doesn't take birth. No. Whatever concept you accept, whether you accept Ashtanga Yoga, whether you accept Bhakti Yoga, whether you accept Karma Yoga, whether you accept, you know, the, what is that, the fourth one? Jnana Yoga. You know, the foundational principle of the living entity is very clear. Therefore there is yoga. Therefore there is God. Therefore there is bhakti in all the process. What is it? It is full of knowledge, full of bliss and full of eternity. Because it is full of knowledge, full of bliss and full of eternity, therefore practicing Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is natural. Somebody who has the potential to walk, he may trip in the beginning as a baby. But because there is a potential to walk, however many times he trips, he will rise and walk. It becomes a natural thing. So similarly, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. In that album he says, Prabhupada explains, it is not artificial, it is natural. In fact, not being Krishna consciousness is unnatural. To be away from God, is very unnatural. Why? Because that is natural. I tell this story, you know, there was one devotee's sister's father-in-law. He was raised in Jaipur. And every day would go to Radha Govinda temple. It's part of city's culture. You begin your day by going to Radha Govinda, attending the Mangalarti. Then if you are more devoted and less work you have, then you go to the next temple also. You know, the Mangalarti is also arranged. First you go to Radha Govinda, then you go to Radha Damodar, then people go to Radha Gopinath also. Like that, some people attend Triti Mangalartis before they begin their day. Thousands of people come to that temple. And very interesting phenomena is, like one devotee took me to that temple. And he said, and he made me, after darshan, we came down to the shoe rack. He said, just watch. He said, just watch the people who are taking care of the shoes. He says, they do not even look at the badge. They just walk, they just see the feet of the people and they bring the shoes. You know, they are so precise. So then I asked the shoekeepers, since how long you are working here? He said, I'm not working, I'm serving last 25, 30 years. So he knows everybody's feet, and based on everybody's feet only brings the shoes. He doesn't need to see, you know, the token which he has given. So that is their service to Radha Govind, serving the devotees. So this man would go to Radha Govind since his childhood, and unfortunately, you know, somebody preached to him about communism. communistic philosophy. So after taking to communistic philosophy, which is aggressively violent against God, you know, they can't take anybody to be supreme. Everybody equally poverty stricken. Somebody said, you know, capitalism is making some people rich and communism is equal to everybody. Everybody is poor. So when he became a communist, then he gave up coming to the temple. He stopped worshipping the deities. You know, he became very consciously, you know, atheistic. And because he was a new atheistic, therefore he was very aggressive in being atheistic. And one time he had a massive accident. He lost all his memory, including being a communist. But what he remembered was, he remembered only thing what he would go to the temple. He started chanting Radha Govind, Radha Govind, Radha Govind. You know, communist did not come when he was dying. Radha Govind came to protect him. Why? Because that is the natural state of a living entity. I remember another student, you know, he came in touch with devotees, he started associating, coming for the program. And then eventually, because he moved out of his college base and then he went different places for his work, and slowly, slowly, because there were no devotees around him, you know, out of laziness, he wanted to do, but out of laziness he just, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll go some other day. Then he forgot. Then he had a small scooter accident. And then he basically kind of lost his memory for some time. He was unconscious. When he came back to his consciousness, the doctors told him, hey, what are you chanting? Something, Hare Krishna, what is it? So then he realized, you know, one consciously forgets God, but unconsciously he can never forget God. One can be only consciously unconscious of God, but if you are actually conscious, you cannot forget God, because that is the constitutional nature of the living entity, to be remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because a living entity is always a dependent factor, and Krishna, as Prabhupada mentions, is an independent factor. So therefore, and then living entity has a nature. He is full of knowledge, full of bliss and full of eternity. Only because of bad desire. Because he has independence. Very interesting. Krishna, you know, is given this independence to the living entity since time and immemorial. Somebody asked this question to Jayadvaita Maharaj, then why living entity chooses not to obey Krishna? He said, causeless unwillingness. You know, he cannot trace out why he is doing like that. It is not possible to understand. That itself is surprising. A living entity which is very close to God, you know, his nature is to be with God, then why is he forgetting Krishna? Ichha dvesha samutvena. Where did that desire come to be away from Krishna? And Prabhupada explained, because living entity is fallible. Because he is not supreme, and therefore there is a tendency to forget God. There is a tendency. And because there is a tendency to forget God, or he has a tendency to misuse his independence. That is the nature of independence. You know, in dialectic spiritualism, Prabhupada writes, somebody asks, how can a living entity, after going back to God, it also come down? He said, no, the independence is there. And therefore, bhakti becomes very dynamic. In the spiritual world, you are given greater independence. In the material world, independence is very less, because we have the body, we have the contaminated mind, we have the three modes of material nature to control us, we have the time factor to control us. And because all these things are there, so his independence is very, very restricted. He only functions based upon the three modes of material nature. Again, Prabhupada explains, no, somebody is bound by the three modes of material nature. He goes, you know, like a South Indian, if he sees Thai rice, he becomes, wow, it's very good. He will forget everything. Why? Because that's his condition. Because he's raised to eat like that. So wherever he goes, he loves that. So living entity is forced by the three modes of material nature when he has the bodily concept of life. But as he moves away from the three modes of material nature, he is not affected by the three modes of material nature, then he experiences independence much greater. But then when he experiences that independence in a greater degree, then the living entity has the choice. No? To serve Krishna, or to again contaminate his mind of thinking that I want to be one with Krishna. That choice is there. So Krishna's greatness, that he gives independence to living entities so that independently the living entities can desire or take a decision of serving Krishna. Otherwise it is not love. No, when Ravan, when he saw Mother Sita, he said, "You love me. You know, I'm willing to be your servant. And if you don't, I will eat you as a breakfast." So this kind of love is one-sided love. It is not love. It is, we call as dadagiri. You know, it's a force. You know, that you have to love me. Love cannot be forced. A mother cannot force the child to love her. No. A student cannot be forced by the teacher to be submissive. He can only tell the benefits of submissiveness. And therefore, just imagine Krishna nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita, nowhere in the Bhagavatam, nowhere in his activities, he ever goes against the very nature what he has created. He continues to give the choice. He will show Arjuna fantastic Vishwarup, you know, mind-blowing Vishwarup form, where everything is seen, that all Bhishma, Drona, Karna, everybody is going in his mouth like a pickle and is biting them. All that is happening. There is explanation, then there is a PowerPoint also. No? But after doing all that, it is the living entity's choice still to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. I said, you have the choice. If you don't accept this choice, I will use somebody else as an instrument. What is your role? You know, your role is to become an instrument. Like one Brahmachari was telling, can you imagine only God, only Krishna gives credit to an instrument. When you appear for an exam, and if you actually excel in your exam, you don't give credit to your pen. Wow, my pen was so good. You know, my pen was responsible for my success. You need it, but ultimately all the success goes to a person who is utilizing it. So Arjuna is like a pen. He's an instrument in Krishna's hand. If not this pen, some other pen. It doesn't matter. Krishna can use any pen. But he's choosing to use Arjuna as his pen. And he's saying, I will give you all the credit. So only God gives credit to his instruments. Nobody gives credit. He said, you become glorious, you become famous. Therefore, Prabhupada explains in the Mahabharata and Ramayana, the greatest heroes are Vaishnavas. It is Hanumanji and Arjun. They get the credit. Because God is giving that credit. But if the living entity thinks that actually I am responsible, and then what happens? Ahankara iti amme, kartam iti manyate. That a living entity, when he starts thinking, I am the doer, wherever that pride comes, in whichever part of the world, whether it is in Vrindavan or whether it is in Kurukshetra, what does Krishna do? Like when the battle of Kurukshetra was over, every day Krishna would come down first and grabbed Arjuna's hand and then would ask him to come down. After the last day, Krishna told, you get down now. He said, why are you changing the rule? You know? So Krishna said, you get down first. When Arjuna got down, and when Krishna got down, the chariot went into flames. He said, what is this? He said, no, this chariot should have gone much before only, because I was sitting there. Therefore, it was able to handle all the divine weapons of so many warriors. So Arjuna realized, of course, he was always realized, you know, it's a fresh reminder that I am not the doer, I am not the doer, I am not the doer. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, quoting the Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, that when Krishna created this whole material universe, what did he do? He said, perform yajna. You know, cooperate with the demigods. And because the demigods are the supplying agents, if you perform yajna, then they provide water, they provide everything. Therefore, here again, in this chapter, Bhagavatam explains, there is Adi Bhautik, Adi Daivik and Adhyatmik. Adhyatmik is the living entity. Adi Daivik is the senses. Adi Daivik is the controlling deities. And Adi Bhautik is the instrument, the senses. So if the Adi Bhautik is there, Adi Daivik is there, Adhyatmik is not there, then the living entity cannot function. We have the eye. But the living entity is not living. So Adhyatma is not there. So therefore he cannot see. Adhyatma is there. the external instrument is there, but the demigods are not active. Then we become like Dhritarashtra, you know. The eyes are there, you can see it, but still you cannot see it. Not possible. Intelligence is there. The living in it is there. But that controlling deity is not there, then the intelligent doesn't function. Whatever one does, it is not possible. So therefore, this combination is so beautiful, which Krishna is speaking, which Lord Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. The demigods are there, the living entities are there, and there is yajna. When that yajna principle is practiced, then comes prosperity. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita repeatedly talks about, I am not the doer, I am not the doer. Like in one village, one old man was telling, he said, the Vedic concept talks about happening culture. And the modern civilization talks about doing culture. So happening culture, doing is also there, but doing is not predominated. It is not dominated. It is subservient to happening culture. And in the doing culture, I am the doer. I drive. I break my leg. No, I get married. So there is all, I is the first principle. So therefore, in doing culture, the problem is when you are successful, you become proud. And we are not successful, you become depressed. So both are false ego. One is a depressed false ego and one is, you know, like a blown up false ego. But in the happening culture, a living entity, what does he do? When something goes wrong with you, he reflects, oh, this is my karma. What can be done? That he is able to reflect. Like Brahmaji explains, Tattenu Kampa Susamikshamana Bhujjana Evatma Kritami Pagam. That one who folds his hand and says, whatever is happening to me is all by my own previous karma. Then he becomes a rightful claim. So he can reflect upon whatever happened to him. And if something good happens to him, then what does he do? He gives credit to Krishna. Bad is my own karma. Good, if something happens, is Krishna's grace. And that's a reality. So therefore, whether it is in the material world or practicing Krishna consciousness, either way there is no difference. Why? Because for a devotee there is no material life. No, he is Krishnizing everything. And because he is Krishnizing everything, his senses become spiritualized. No? Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, Prabhupada gives very brilliant understanding that our senses are dull. It's a matter. The tongue is matter, the nose is matter, the beads what we hold, apparently, you know, what is it? It is made of some wood. And we chant the holy name. See, from a material perspective, the names are made of alphabets. You know, the combination of so many alphabets. You know, from A to Ksha in Sanskrit. But Krishna is Adoksha. The Prabhupada says Krishna is beyond A to Ksha. You cannot capture Krishna by combination of many alphabets. He is beyond that. So how can somebody capture Krishna with the dull senses and who is beyond the alphabets? So then he explains, you know, Krishna is captured because by the grace of the internal energy. Daivim Prakriti Mashrita. So that Daivim Prakriti is what a guru provides. That's what the Guru Parampara provides. That all our activities become spiritualized because there is a connection with the spiritual master. If that connection is not there, then however much we try, it is like, you know, taking a honey bottle and licking from outside. However vigorously, rigorously we lick the honey bottle, you never experience the taste of the honey. So therefore, one who accepts the Daivi Prakriti, that this is actually, you know, not me. I am simply an instrument. Therefore, one time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, he gave a class. And after the class was over, disciples came to him and said, Guru Maharaj gave a brilliant class. It was so nice. And he said, what did you like? And they shared some points. And when they shared the points, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I am like a Gobar Ganesh. No, I don't know what's going through me. It's all Krishna. Similarly, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was discussing with Sanatana Goswami asked him, he said, can you speak about the Atmaram verse which you spoke to Bhattacharya? He said, he was one madman and when his associate, I also became mad. I don't know what was coming out. It is not me. He said, it's not me. I don't know what was coming out. So there is no question of, if somebody does something good, and if he says, I did this, all the credit goes away. All the credit goes away. In the Mahabharata, there is a story that Indra has got so many ways to exhaust people's pious credit. Sometimes he brings apsaras. Sometimes he makes, you know, some brahmana disguise and give a sword. But this time what he did? He asked some king. He said, what is the extent of your pious activity? So if somebody asks that question, never answer that question. Because it is explained, when somebody asks you that question and you start speaking, you know, my pious activities are this much. And just by telling that I did so many good things, all your pious activities are exhausted. So this person who was in the heavens, Indra wanted him to come down as fast as possible because his piety was unlimited. Just by speaking about his pious activity, he came down. So therefore, you know, we see repeatedly Prabhupada talks in this chapter, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, wherever you find that living entity is not the doer, living entity is not the doer, living entity is not the doer. But that doesn't mean that living entity is not responsible for his activity. One may say, if I am not the doer, like there was one, you know, a serial murderer, he would take a stone in the night time in Bombay many years back, and he would crack people's head. After many such incidents, he was caught. They asked him, why you are doing it? He said, no, somebody else is telling me to do it. No, I am not the responsible. And I think he quoted Gita also. No, that I am not the doer. No, everything is done by God. So that is irresponsibility. Because we also have a responsibility, you know, to behave nicely according to Shastra. And we can't say, you know, I did not kill. One can misuse the verses of Bhagavad Gita. Nainam shindantri shastrani, nainam dhati pavaka, nai kledayanto apo. You know, I was only destroying his body, and bodies anyway doesn't get killed. Sometimes people say, those who eat meat, they say, you know, we are delivering that living entity from that body so that he can get to next body, so that immediately he can get a human form of life. Faster progression. Somebody asked this question, and Prabhupada said, no, there is a stipulated time for that living entity to stay. Otherwise it has to come back again in that body. When it is taken away accidentally, abruptly, like they say, atripta atmas, those who are dissatisfied, you know, they don't get a body only, basically. So what happened? Their progress is terminated. And because a living entity is responsible, somebody dies in murder, you know, somebody dies in an accident when having lots of desire. So what happens? The living entity does not move to the next stage of life. So it is unnatural departure. And because it is unnatural departure, he is hanging in between. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur also talks about this. So therefore, if somebody changes the course of action artificially when he doesn't have the control, then we restrict the progress of the living entity. So therefore, you know, when we talk about Vedanta, you know, it's all happening by the will of God. It is not about my sinful activities. We can't say, I sin because God is making me sin. I break the rules and regulations because God is making me to do. Ultimately, He is responsible. And that's what He says in the Gita. Nothing is happening without the will of God. Nothing moves without the sanction of God. One can misuse. And therefore, Balde Vidyabhushan explains, when the living entity can say like that. And what is the argument? The argument is, Krishna has given the scripture. Krishna has given the deities. Krishna has given the proper rules and regulation. All these rules and regulations are there for the living entity to understand what is proper course of action. And even after having all that, and if he does not follow, and he says, I am just doing because God is dictating me, that is most dangerous proposition. Dhritarashtra, when Akrur came to Dhritarashtra as the messenger, you know, Krishna killed Kamsa, and then it happened so fast. Then the Lord sent a message to Dhritarashtra, saying that, you know, you should behave well with the Pandavas. Take care of them. Otherwise, basically Krishna is telling, same will happen to you also, if you misbehave. And if you study Bhagavatam, explain what did Dhritarashtra do? When Akrur brought this message, Dhritarashtra was kind of saying, you know, everything is happening by the will of God only. No, it sounds that Dhritarashtra is very strongly, you know, having the conviction in the concept of nothing happens without the will of God. But he is misusing that. He is misusing not to rectify his weakness. He is misusing not to rectify the wickedness of Duryodhana. No, what can be done? It is will of God. And therefore what he did? He was party to trying to burn the Pandavas. Because of this kind of consciousness. And that is not very philosophically right. No, Prabhupada says very clearly, when good happens in your life, give credit to Krishna. When bad happens in your life, take the responsibility. And that is actually reality. Like our Sarvabhauma Prabhu, you know, who comes on Atma, he gives a very beautiful example. He said one soldier, he went back home. And everybody gathered after the war. He said, what happened? He said, I cut 40 people's head. I chopped 70 people's hands. I said, wow, you're so hero. Yeah, he said, somebody had already killed him. So that's what was happening with Arjuna. Arjuna had to know that Krishna had already killed all of them. What Arjuna is doing, he's only cutting the dead bodies. As a time factor, Krishna is telling Arjuna, I've already done whatever supposed to be done. You just become an instrument. And then what does Arjuna do? Actually, he gave those expressions in the Bhagavatam first canto. We read the 15th chapter of the Bhagavatam of the first canto. It's very beautiful. Arjuna has come back from Hastinapur, come back from Dwarka, and Yudhishthira was eagerly waiting for Arjuna's arrival. And he was very much in anxiety. Why Arjuna has not come back after so many years, of so many days? And he is telling Bhima about seeing all kinds of ill omen. When Arjuna comes, what does he see? Arjuna's face has become very pale. He has lost the charm. You know, he has lost that strength. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asks so many questions to Arjuna. And he is very hesitant to ask the most important question. You know, most feared question. And what is that? The question of, is that the Supreme Lord has gone back to the spiritual world? And at last he raises that question. And Arjuna says, you know, he starts crying. He starts remembering Krishna. And then he says, yes, Vanchito Maharaja Harina Bandurupina. He said, my dear brother, yes, what you are asking is a reality now. The Supreme Lord has gone back to the spiritual world. I said, without him, I am useless. And what does Arjuna do? Very sweet chapter. And Arjuna remembers all that what happened in his life. All that good happened in his life, he gave credit to Krishna. He said, winning Draupadi, getting the Astra from Shiva, sitting next to Lord Indra, killing all those demons, getting freed from the Varanavat. All that credit, he says, only because of his grace I was able to do. How was it possible on the Kurukshetra that even Shukadeva, Parikshit Maharaj says this, you know, that Bhishma, Karna, Drona were like huge timingalas, but my grandparents were able to cross these timingalas and be victorious by his grace. And Arjuna says all that. And at the same time Arjuna also says, but I did not treat that Lord very nicely. You know, out of familiarity, sometime I would call Krishna, hey Krishna, hey Vasudev, why are you lying? I would sit with him, I would dine with him, I would walk with him, but he would take my offenses not very seriously. Just like a father forgives his son, a friend forgives his son, the Lord was forgiving. You know, Arjuna starts crying about his connection to Krishna. You know? So, Uddhava also same thing. In the Bhagavatam third canto, when Vidur came to him, it's another very beautiful chapter. What does Vidur do? He asks many questions to Uddhava. And Uddhava tells about Krishna's going back to the spiritual world. And he said, we did not take Krishna seriously. You know, we are so unfortunate. We took Krishna very lightly. And how Krishna is so great. He came to his parents and saying that I did not serve you nicely. But Uddhava, he was such a great devotee, Prabhupada writes in the purport. You know, from early childhood, as young as 5 years old, you know, he was so absorbed in Krishna, but he said, I am not a good devotee. And therefore he says, in fact, the demons are better. You know, these whole verses of on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so many warriors died. They are more focused in Krishna. They are more absorbed in Krishna. They appreciated Krishna and they have delivered themselves. And I am still here in this material world. Is Uddhava inferior to these demons? Narad Muni in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam also, again he talks about all the demons. He said, wow, they are so good. Kamsa and Putana and then Kubja and the gopis. No, he talks about all of them. He said, you know, they are more fortunate than me because they were more absorbed in Krishna. I am not so absorbed. So we see this consciousness of a devotee where he always considers my bhakti is also a dependent on Guru and Krishna. I do not have the power to chant. When he chants nicely, after chanting very nicely, he gives all the credit. No, in this way, one performs bhakti. Then one continuously continuously experiences Krishna's independence and our dependence. And that is bhakti proper. That a living entity is always dependent factor and Krishna is always an independent factor. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Again, therefore Prabhupada always spoke about Vani and Vapu, Vani and Vapu. No? Like one devotee after Prabhupada's disappearance past time, he just gave away his sannyasa. He said, now I cannot because I was only doing because Prabhupada was there physically. So his strength was coming from the Vapu. Vapu is important as long as it is there. But eventually, it will not be there. So therefore, Guru's message is more profound. So that's what Krishna is telling. Bhishma will be there. It's okay. You got. But what is important? The message is important. So otherwise, because again Krishna's pastime also, we see it is manifested and unmanifested. If somebody is attached to Krishna's physical form, which he told the Brahmani Patnis, you know, the best advice is given by the Lord. He said, you know, physical association will not do good. He said, go back. Focus on chanting, hearing. No? So he forced them. With gopis, that was a different thing. They were most advanced. But even they had to go home. So Krishna has to be experienced in our service. Guru has to be experienced in our sadhana. Guru has to be experienced in our sadachar. No? Otherwise, if somebody always competes about physical association, like sometimes we see, you know, one khichdi, 15 people are working for making it. It's a waste of energy. No? There are many other things to do. No? So he needs one garland only. 3,000 people are making garland. So I think, at least I believe it's not, one can do many other service. Somebody asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I always want to be at your feet. He said, my feet are always moving everywhere. No, you can't be all the time with me. That is not good. Because ultimately what our sampradaya teaches, service in separation. So basically when we become accustomed to physical association, that's what Krishna says. Not possible. You have to go beyond that. And Bhishma Dev, who is he? is Mahabhagavat, but now apparently standing against Krishna on the other side. So Krishna has to do the needful, Arjuna had to do the needful. Krishna is telling you have to do the needful, and Krishna is telling, okay, you can't kill, I will kill him. Like one time, again, Prabhupada called in the middle of the night two of his devotees, and he said, he showed them the picture of Bhagavad Gita battle. He said, you know what, being Krishna's devotee is not very easy. You have to kill your grandfather. it's not that he's saying, you know, but the point is, sometime if your grandfather is on the adharma side, like Bhishma Dev, how much love Arjuna had for his grandfather? Limitless affection for Bhishma Dev. But as long as Bhishma Dev is there, dharma will not be established. What to do? So therefore, Arjuna had to do that. Arjuna had to see Dronacharya removed from the scene. So therefore, this is a clash of dharma. Should I focus on my affection side or should I focus on my duty side? If I stay all the time with my guru, then I don't render service to guru. Just being around his physical form. But if I need to serve him, and then I may not get the physical service. But in that service only one experiences greater unity. Otherwise it is a competition all the time. Thinking that this is the only service which is important. But then the physical service, if you see, Prabhupada did not give much importance to that. Anybody can do it. Right. No big deal. Prabhupada did not give importance. Of course, those who got that service, they were grateful, they were, you know, very fortunate from that perspective. But doesn't mean that one's advancement is dependent upon having a physical association. Again, Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that Duryodhan had such a piety, he got to hear Bhagavatam plus from Krishna, but did not agree to him. Shishupal, you know, can you imagine, he is there with Krishna, but he is not allowing Krishna to speak. He is speaking. And what does he speak? He speaks blasphemy. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, what is this? This person was born with offenses against Krishna. So physical association doesn't guarantee appreciation. No? The wisdom what is given by Guru and Krishna guarantees when the physical association comes, we are grateful, okay, it has come. Otherwise, it becomes very sentimental bhakti. Sentiments are required. Bhavanas are required. But becoming bhavanatmak, no, it is not very good. That is what continuously, whether it is Gita, Bhagavad, Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about. Think. Hare Krishna. You answer, please. As far as my understanding goes, his Prabhupada writes here only his desire, his intention. Like, you know, he gives the example of if you go to Mother Ganga, people are taking shelter of Ganga, and what they are offering, they are offering Ganga water only. So it's ridiculous in one sense. Somebody, a materialistic, will say, what are you offering? He said, I am offering water to Ganga. Hey, come on, it belongs to her only. So, the mood, the intention, you know, like yesterday I was sharing that story, like one child in America during the bus party, Radha Damodar, he saw somebody offering a flower to the deities. This child came running, 3-year-old child, just imitated and threw flower at the feet of Radha Damodar, and they just landed at their feet. So one proper devotee was telling me, he said, you know, I can't forget that sight. So we're discussing if a devotee can appreciate so much, you know, it is still becomes a lasting memory. How much Krishna appreciates the intention. And that is the only thing we can do, having a good intention. And then, since we have the senses also, you know, very nice Vaishnava was telling, he said, how bhakti works. He said, bhakti is like a mother giving a sweet melon to her child. And child cannot open that sweet lemon. Difficult. And the mother only opens. She removes all the peel, then she removes the fiber, then she opens it. And the mother is standing behind and the child is standing in the front. And the mother says, my dear baby, can you give me one piece? That belongs to mother only. And then a child wants to give the mother, but he can't reach because child is very small. And the mother bends down. The mother bends down and the child pushes, or the mother, you know, sucks it. And then the mother says, oh, thank you very much. She hugs and kisses. That is bhakti. No? Our devotional ability is like a child's ability to open the sweet melon. But there is a feeling, that intention. I want to give it to a mother. I think that is what Krishna ultimately appreciates, the sincerity in purpose of the living entity. I am not the doer, I can't do, but I want to do something for Krishna. But what can I do? But still I will try doing something, whatever I can do. So that is living entity's good heart and magnanimity of Krishna. Wow, you know, he has done so much for me. And therefore, one of the quality of Krishna is explained is gratitude. Gratitude is an etiquette for the living entity, but gratitude is an ornament for Krishna, because he doesn't need to be grateful. Because he is Atmaram, self-satisfied. But he becomes, therefore Hiranyakashipu says, he is supposed to be impartial, but he becomes very much easily pleased. And Prabhupada writes, I think if somebody, a small child given a toffee by anybody, he starts jumping and clapping. He said, hey, this Vishnu is like this. You know, these demigods, they did something to him and he immediately changes sides. He should be impartial. So Hiranyakashipu knows. You know, but only thing, his conclusion is wrong. Is it right, Prabhuji? Yes.
Distributor of light. So there's obviously a difference in quality
In quantity?
Of devotees. Even in the devotees.
Yeah.
So Krishna uses devotees for different, well, Bhishma Dev is a good example, you know. Even though Bhishma Dev appeared as an enemy, he was actually a great devotee and he was serving Krishna. So
again, I think their mood, which is more attractive to Krishna in the material world, in the preaching mission, capacity is very much required. The greater capacity one has, at least in the regular world, he becomes famous. He has to become famous. And at the same time, he is also, again, our scripture talks about different categories of devotees. So that understanding also has to be there. You know, Hanumanji is great. The squirrel also did his bit. But when Hanumanji became proud of his service, then Lord Ram just to tell him, hey, come on, he's also doing something good. But still, there is a difference between Hanumanji's capacity and squirrel's capacity. We don't all the time talk about the squirrel pastime. We only talk about Hanumanji's pastime. So similarly, you know, one cannot say, you know, Prabhupada did so great. So according to his capacity, but I also am doing according to my capacity. So therefore we are equal. Then again it becomes Mayavad. You know, basically. There is a big, big difference. Why? Because someone who is very dear to Krishna, therefore whether Madhvacharya, Ramanuja, Mahaprabhu, you know, they talk about gradation of devotees also. So that is also there. The gradation of devotees is there from the quantity and quality point of view. At the same time, they never feel like that. You know, Radharani doesn't feel. In fact, the whole last 8 verses and shows Radharani saying to one gopi, he said, if you know, if I can't please Krishna, he's not happy with me. She will go to someone who is a rival and fall at her feet. You know, he's not happy with me. You go and serve Krishna. So that is their attitude. Just because I'm a great devotee of Krishna doesn't mean that socially I'm much superior. So they have their culture. But we as a devotee should also understand, hey, there is a gradation. Somebody is doing such tons of service, he is more dear to Krishna. And one who is doing tons of service, he should not undermine those who are doing little. Therefore, Prabhupada was, you know, was so inspired, and he remembered the lady who would bring that water from Jamuna to Radha Damodar. You know, that becomes one of the most important pastime for all the devotees, those who read Lilamrita. They read, oh, this is very interesting. But again, we don't, it's very inspiring, but we don't talk all the time about that activity. So I think there is a gradation also, and at the same time, you know, there is, the intention is also seen. We'll stop here. It's time up. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.